Tonight, I think it's my honor to introduce to you Brother John Gardner with Amazing Grace Missions.
Proverbs 11:30. Tells you who is the wise man. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You know, my father grew up a farmer, and he thought he would always be a farmer. And One day he was at a good church, and pastor was saying, "Now tonight I'm going to preach on who's a wise man." And he really thought that the pastor was going to preach on farming, because he thought farming was a wise thing to do. You know, there are many things that the world will tell you is a wise thing to do. They'll tell you go to college and get this degree, and then get this degree, and get this degree, or build a huge company, or make a lot of money, and you're a wise person. But God doesn't do that. He looks down from heaven and says, "You know who's a wise man? The people that bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ." And that can be you and I. That stirred my dad's heart. And long story short, he got into the ministry. And as a pastor, he went to the county fair. And he wanted to reach those kids. He had a burden for those kids at the county fair. We should have a burden for somebody. I love it being here. We have people that have a burden for the people of Chile. People have a burden all over the world. Many years down in Argentina, praise the Lord. Well, he had a burden for those kids that would come to the county fair and show their beef and dairy cows and work so hard throughout the year. So he tried to reach him, and I'll just keep it short here because I don't have much time. But the first couple of years, he messed up. He didn't do it. He didn't get anybody saved. He tried things, but it wasn't getting the people and getting them interested in the Lord. Then somebody said, "Hey, there's a man over in Ohio, and he does get people saved at the fair." I said, "Well, how do you do it?" And he said, "I don't know, but call him up." So my dad called him up, and the man said, "Yeah, it's real easy." He said, "Make you a box." And many of you have done this, probably picking the pond, right? Picking a poke. Make you a box, 1 foot by 1 foot, 1 foot deep. Put a hole in the top. Put a sign in the front. Now, this is what we come up with lately, but we used to have a sign that says, "Where will you be when you look like this?" And my dad said, "Well, I don't understand. What do I put in there?" And he said, "Put a skull in there." So my dad put a skull in there, and you just stand on the table, and you say, "Hey, where will you be when you look like this? Come over here." And people would look in there, and they'd see that skull, and, of course, you hear all the answers. I don't know that I have heard them all, but I haven't been surprised in a long time. I've heard people say I'll be in hell drinking beer with my buddies, which is wrong, according to the Bible. I've had people say, you can't know where you're going when you die, which is wrong, according to the Bible. And people say, when you die, you just go into nothingness. There's nothing after death, which is wrong, according to the Bible. We just ask them, "Can I show you how you can know for sure?" And if you've been working the fair our way, we like to ask the question, are you 50%? Are you 75%? Or are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? I really like that question because, to be quite honest, when I grew up in my dad's church, the way we'd go soul winning is we'd just go up there and say, "Hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" And if you kind of, what we used to call that, buttonhole them, if you kind of really put them in a corner, I think they lie and say, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven." But if you say, "Hey, you know what, are you 50, 75, 100% sure you're going to heaven?" People will tell you the truth. And probably the most common answer is 75%. Which the percent really doesn't matter, because we're the only people in the world that know for sure that we're going to heaven. And that's on a good basis right here in the Bible. So we just ask them if they know for sure. If they're 50, they're 75, zero, I've heard almost all the numbers too. It doesn't really matter. Matter of fact, even if they say they're 100%, you need to ask them why they're 100% sure. I asked a young man one time at a fair, "Are you 50, 75, 100%? He said, "Oh, I'm 100%. And I thought, "Oh, well, good." And I said, "Well, why is that?" I thought he was going to tell me, I'm saved or born again or, And he said, "Well, I'm an American." He thought being an American would get you into heaven. No. So we were able to get the Bible and show them how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. So we started doing that, or he started doing it. He started that in 1962, so I wasn't much help at that time. But he started doing that, and we started seeing souls saved immediately. Matter of fact, it was about the second or third year he'd do that. Three kids came by, a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, and another 16-year-old. And one came by, and he looked in the box with the skull, and he said, "Oh, I don't know. I think I'm going to hell, but I don't care." He was in a hurry. And the other one said, "I know. I'm going to heaven. I know." But the third one said, "You know what? I don't know where I'll be when I die." "Well, can I show you?" "Yeah." So he sat down. We gave him the plan of salvation, and he got saved. When that boy graduated high school through follow-up with my father, he went to Tennessee Temple University, which at the time was very fundamental, and he got a degree there and came back to the same town we started in, and he is now an Independent Baptist King James preacher there in that town. So it works, and once they're saved, they're always saved, we like to say. So praise the Lord for that. Well, again, he started doing that, and we started doing more fairs, and everywhere we go, people would get saved. Everywhere we go, people would get saved. It didn't matter if we went into a rich part of town, a poor part of town, anywhere. If you go to where a gathering is, I mean, if you even go where there's pigs on a pond, you can see people saved. Well, in 1983, my dad was still pastor there, and he was reading a book, and I set him down over here. He was reading a book. It's this one right here. Boys and Girls Who Became Great Missionaries. Now, he wasn't reading this to get Sunday sermon. He wasn't reading this to learn any doctrine. It's just 12 boys and girls that grew up to be missionaries and their stories. I hope you like Christian biographies. Christian biographies are the next best thing to this right here, is changing your life. One of them in here is William Carey, and his father of modern-day missions. And he's known for a statement, "We should expect great things from God." Do you expect great things from God? And then you should attempt great things for Him. And he says, like the Holy Spirit said, if you'll step out by faith to try to put a soul-winning booth in every state, and then the state fairs and the county fairs and the pig on the pond festivals and everywhere people gather, I'll go with you. So he resigned his church and started Amazing Grace Mission in 1983. He died in 2009, but in 2017, Amazing Grace Mission passed the 1 million profession of salvations through the fair ministry alone. God used this book to stir somebody, it was a pastor at the time, but stirred somebody to see a mission that sees 1 million people saved now, over 1 million. I think God can still do that. I don't think He's slack in any way, shape, or form since 1983. That's why I bring this book, not for any other reason. I think maybe the Lord would use this to stir your heart or your grandchildren's heart or your great-grandchildren's heart. I have two other books called A Great Cloud of Witnesses. There's 20 biographies in these. These are the type of people you need to be reading about. My dad's favorite was James Hudson Taylor, amazing missionary. My favorite is Charles Studd. How many know Charles Studd? You know, missionary Charles Studd? You know the story of Charles Studd? I'm wasting too much time here. Charles Studd was probably even more famous in his day than Michael Jordan was in basketball in his heyday. He was a cricket player, and if you'd put it in baseball terms, if people were hitting 50 home runs, he was hitting 75 and 80 home runs. I mean, he was playing cricket well above anybody else. He was known worldwide. He was famous worldwide. The Lord saved him, and he gave that all up to go to Africa to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, his father was a very wealthy man. When his father died, his estate came to him, and it was like $25 million. And he gave that all away so he could go and focus on the lost in Africa. That's the kind of people that I'm talking about right here. I bring these books, and I wanted to mention to you, because I've got a challenge here. Since we're going to be here all this week, they're $5. They're just my cost. If you will buy one of these and read it through by Sunday night, I'll either give you your money back or you can get another one for free. Anybody take my challenge and want to read this through in 5 days? 20 biographies, you read 4 or 5 biographies a night, and they're 5 or 6 pages. You can get through those. But I believe it would change your life. It would change your life. Well, we started doing that, and then in 1995, my wife and I joined Amazing Grace Mission. And do you know how my wife and I, the situation that the Lord used to draw us into Amazing Grace Mission? Same thing as used you guys to draw them in, mission conference. Hey, you ought to be coming here with your heart open to the Lord. The Lord might be going to want to speak to you this year and call you to serve Him. It's not a, oh me, oh no, I've got to go to Chile or I've got to go. No, it's, wow, I can be used of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a high honor and privilege to serve Him. Well, when we joined, we did many, many different jobs, but we went to Africa to start the ministry there. And by the way, we use the 3 things God cannot do mainly all the time now and use it down in Chile. Matter of fact, I'm going in June down there trying to get a bunch of pastors together to get them excited about this. It works even better in those environments because there the church will take the 3-door unit on and they will promise to use it at least once a month. And they will go to their marketplace. And their marketplace is just the street. They can go anywhere. They can do it every day if they want it. And they see people saved. I know of at least 2 churches that use this to start a church in Mexico. And very effective. And people are getting saved. And one church in down in Mexico, they had they had 6 visitors one Sunday because of the people they led to the Lord at the marketplace. It works. It works. It's just so open. People are so open to the gospel. So we're expanding around the world, and we now have a Hispanic director, and he's directing all these countries and heading into Chile. And you know, I just have to sit back and say, man, the Lord really wants to see people saved. I mean, if you just make yourself available, the Lord's going to use you, and He's going to do great things through you, not because you're a great person, not because I'm a great person, but because He's a great God, and He's just looking for somebody to use so that He can do great things. Boy, does this world need the Lord Jesus Christ? Man, it does. It does. America needs the world, that Lord Jesus Christ. But, and you guys have probably heard many of them, but we like to get their name and their address for a local church to follow up. But we like to get them to write on the back what just happened. It kind of gives us an idea if they understood and they really received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, last year we saw over 30,000 professions in the United States and around the world. And how many of those are saved? Everyone that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to say this, and you do it too at the fair. When they come by, you have to stop and say, hey, can I show you 3 things God can't do? Well, okay, they're interested a little bit. And then you get down to the last door and you ask them, can I show you? Can I show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? Okay, they want to do that. You get back there and you go through the plan of salvation and say, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? And, you know, okay. And so if they really didn't, if the 30,000 plus didn't really mean it, then they lied to me 4 times in a row about it. What can I do about that? But we like to get that testimony on the back here. This one wrote, a great weight was lifted off of my shoulders. Man, you don't know. The people that you're going to be around this week, I'm going to say that there's some people that have some heavy, heavy weights on their shoulders. And the only way to get that off of their shoulders is the Lord Jesus Christ. This one wrote, something that was great happened to me right now. Praise the Lord. There's many, many others. This one always stirs my heart. You know, I told you my dad grew up on a farm. So we do a lot of farm shows. We do a farm show in Fort Wayne, Indiana in January. It's snow and chance of snow tomorrow and the chance of snow the next day about that time. But that's when the farmers can get together. We set up a booth there and Paul came by, 48-year-old man. After listening to our introduction there, he said, hey, 30 years ago at age 18, someone presented Christ to me that I might be saved. And I said, no. For 30 years, I have been miserable and said, if anyone ever offers me the chance to be saved, I'll do it. Tonight, yes, I do want to be saved. And he got saved. You know, there are people out in your community that have been searching for the answer. And we have it. We have it. So many testimonies, so many things. You know, we're looking for more workers. We'd like to cover the whole United States. I think there's over 4,000 fairs in the United States. We're doing about 250 right now. There's so much opportunity to do more. We're looking for more missionaries. You know the Smiley book. We like to hand out the Smiley book at the fair here. I got it here somewhere. I've got one in my pocket. We like to use this little Smiley book. Reason why we like this is so small, it fits in their pocket real easy. And so we give out about 1 million of these a year. I've got to order, I've got a contract where every 6 months I order 250,000 at 4 cents a piece. I've got to have $10,000 by June. So praise the Lord, between now and June, the Lord's going to do a $10,000 miracle, okay? But if you want to be part of that, you can be part of that. We need the tracts. We hand out tracts. We're not a tract handing out ministry. We're a soul-winning organization. We try to reach people right then and there with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because there's so many people going by, we also give out gospel literature so that they can go home and read it and get saved. And we have many testimonies of people that have gotten the tract and went home and read it and gotten saved. But we focus on leading them to the Lord at the fair. We have work going on all over the world. We've got a couple people from the Philippines. We've got to work over there and pray. Our work in the Philippines is in Mindanao Island. If anybody from the Philippines know, that has turned into a really dangerous area right now. We had an American that went over there, and he was going to go down there and try to see our missionary, and the government told him, you shouldn't travel down there. Americans shouldn't travel down there. So it's very dangerous. And yet, still seeing hundreds and hundreds of people saved. Why? Is it because this box and this three-door unit is so wonderful? No. It's because God's not willing that any should perish. And so He's going to take something so simple as a 18 by 36 inch board with three little doors on it and use that to draw people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we need your help. We have a prayer card, and we've been giving prayer cards to everybody. It's not because we want you to know our name, but it's because we want you to pray for us. What county is this? Is this Lake County or? Okay. Orange County. They haven't let us in there for the last 2 years. Pray for us. There are fairs every year that are trying to turn us down. We need your prayers to get into fairs. We need your prayers to keep us in the fairs. Hey, you better be praying for your pig on the pond over here. Satan would love to kick you out of that festival. Be praying the Lord keep those doors open. Pray for Amazing Grace Mission. We need your prayers. We're always looking for more workers. I am making a trip to Chile in June, and we're trying to raise about $1,600 for that trip. We'll be down there for a few days and ministry down there. But continue to pray for the fair ministry. Continue to pray for my lovely wife, Paula, and myself, that the Lord would continue to use us for His honor and His glory. Thank you so much. I do feel like I'm at home with you people here, and you have already, the first night, you've already made us feel very welcome here. So thank you very much, Pastor. Amen.